Hey, you guys, this is We Have Thoughts. We are a podcast, and right now we're doing our Conversations with Oscars Rewind. My name is Joy.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Anna.
And this week we're talking about Bridge of Spies. It was nominated for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, Mark Rylance, Best Original Screenplay, Matt Chairman and Joel and Ethan Cohen, Best Original Score, Thomas Newman, Best Production Design, and Best Sound Mixing. Six nominations total, one win, Mark Rylance for Supporting Actor. And this is Bridge of Spies. Ooh.
That should be the intro package for them to show, like, the clips before the award.
Right?
Yeah. And then cap off with, ooh.
Spies.
So mysterious.
Yes. Oh, your hair smells really good.
Oh, thanks. It's coconut.
Don't screw you, everyone. So what did you guys think?
Had you guys seen this before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had not seen it before, so it was my first watch. It was fine.
It was, I remember, it was a lot more entertaining than I remember, because I remember falling asleep in the theater. So I think I might have been tired. It was a Friday. Who knows? I don't know. But I was, like, much more engaged this time.
That's good.
It's a good solid movie. I kind of feel it's in the same vein as like Hell or High Water, that it's like the script is good, actors are good, what's happening is interesting enough, but it's not like captivating or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't have me on the edge of my seat, but it doesn't have me exactly falling asleep. I was on my phone a lot, but
that's normal for you though, isn't it?
I think the only part that I was like really engaged was towards the end, spoilers alert, when they're
spoiler alert.
I mean, our whole podcast is one big spoiler.
But
towards the end, once they're finally on the bridge with the spies, then I'm like, oh, is it gonna happen? Is it not gonna happen? Ooh, I don't know. But I was pretty sure it was gonna happen, because like it just seemed like things usually go Tom Hanks's way, except like when he's on an island.
He's got that's true.
Alone by himself. But most of the time things go his way. So I was like, I'm pretty sure this is gonna
be a safe choice.
This
yeah.
is gonna end and it's gonna be like
that's
nicely
true.
Put.
Everything does go his way. Wow. He's America's dad.
That he is our generation's, or I guess our parents' generation's Jimmy Stewart and Gregory Peck. Like,
oh, okay.
He's the good guy. He's the charming guy. He's never really the bad guy. You're always rooting for him.
Yeah, he's agreed. Just, his characters and Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
I think. Okay, so I feel the dad movies of the categories, I always feel the same. They're like I said, solid, good. Like this was this year's dad movie.
Yeah,
solid A. It was a great movie. It was really well done. But
yeah, it was really well done. The one thing I wasn't super excited about was just like there's so many different storylines. It almost felt like it was like a mini series, because they were worried about that first trial in the beginning, and then they were at the Supreme Court with all of that stuff. And then that ended. And then they, like, go to Europe and try to deal that out. And it just felt like three distinct chapters. So I was like, the movie was kind of long. I felt like either it could have been condensed a little more. I do understand why they had to have the whole story there in order for you to get the context of what happens in the end. But I was like, either we can edit this down, we cut out 30 minutes of it in somewhere in here. Because it was 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it did feel like 2.5 hours. So, like, we either let Steven Spielberg make a little mini series with three long episodes, or we get a 2-hour movie, cut some shit off.
That would have been great. That would have been excellent as a mini series. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it would have been prestige because of Steven Spielberg.
And I think if this was made like last year before that, it would have been one, because mini series are still kind of relatively new when it comes to like prestige television.
Yeah. So. In the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But what, Anna?
Never mind. I was wrong.
Anna, did you see Baby Noah Schnapp?
I did. I wrote Baby Noah.
Who's Noah?
One of my favorite actors is Noah Schnapp. He's so great. He's the one who gets kidnapped in Stranger Things.
Oh, is he Tom Hanks' son? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
He was at the table and then he got up and I go, "Wait a minute!" And I like had my eyes glued to the TV and then he came back. I go, "Noah!"
Aww.
I love that kid.
That's cute. So was that before he did Stranger Things?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
He's a baby.
So this is all a true story.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And it's based off a book. Donovan, Tom Hanks' character, wrote the book, Strangers on a Bridge.
Mm.
But this was still nominated for original screenplay because apparently it was just the basis, the idea that they jumped off of, and they didn't use it as a direct source, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I tried finding more detail, but I couldn't find anything. But I just thought that was really,
weird.
I was reading trivia about it, I go, wait a minute, this is based off a book, and then they got other information from another book that I didn't write down. And I was like, I don't understand how this can be an original screenplay.
Yeah.
Maybe they used like the book as a reference, but not like a direct, or not a reference, but like a study.
Like a source?
Like a source, but not like a straight
adaptation.
Was it maybe the other book that they were searching from was more like a history book rather than like a novel or something like that?
I think it was another person's account of what happened. But I think the website said was that it was different enough from the novel's material to warrant original screenplay. I thought that was interesting.
I want to know, okay, so that's another thing that we can get nitpicky on. Is there any rules to original versus adapted? Like, what does that mean? Like, if you take 50% of your plot from this thing, does that count as original or not? Like,
good question.
Just like there's no really rules for how much time an actor can have to be a role, but like, what does that really mean?
I'm wondering if it's more of a case-by-case basis or if it's a general rule.
Yeah.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we did this research a few years ago. For nominations, you're only voted in by people who work in that field, right? So directors are nominated by directors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess the writers know better than anyone.
Yeah.
What's original?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, they would have the best idea.
they'd have more experience with that, obviously, than like other people would. But I'd be interested to see like what, how, you know, the group of writers, eligible voting writers, decided like, oh, it's original rather than adapted. Yeah. I would like to see how they got to that conclusion.
Yeah, it's a good question.
How did that decision come about? We'll have to figure it out later.
Any other nominees? Okay. I wasn't sure the word. Mm-hmm. So I really, really liked Amy Ryan and Tom Hanks' house. It was beautiful. Yeah. Oh my God. That like green flower wallpaper in the dining room was beautiful.
Guys.
Like the foyer when they walk in, like the porch, the huge ass porch. Also, I really like we're gonna jump ahead, but it's where someone shoots inside his window into his house and the cops are there and Tom Hanks is like, we're gonna need protection. The way that whole scene is lit is very interesting. It's all like spotlights, but it's not a steady one. It's just kind of, it's like moving with the actors. It's really, really great. I like that scene.
It is my dream. To have like an old Victorian style home and fix it up and have it be like true to the style. Ugh, those rich wallpapers. Yes, please.
You have a house in the backyard for me so I can live somewhere.
Sure. Absolutely.
Those houses normally have like
out there for you.
Normally have like two floors and then like a basement or two floors and then like an attic, which I would love an attic like in the cone spirally staircase. Yeah,
my hope, my dream is that the third floor attic space will have an ensuite and that can be a master.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, girl. All right, let's start designing this house. I gotta call my brother.
I have an entire Pinterest board called, because my favorite style is the Queen Anne.
Yeah.
So I have an entire board called Queen Anne Dreams, and
I love that.
Love it.
I can't wait to go to this house.
Right? Invite me over.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Nothing like all of us wanting to talk at the same time. Anna, go ahead.
Okay. So we were talking about this just a little bit before we started recording, but this movie has an interesting viewpoint of looking at the past through a modern perspective. They're looking back on it all, you know, rose-colored, and we can see with 2020 vision now. But had the movie been made in, you know, 10, 15 years after the fact, when the Cold War was still new and it was still fresh and it was still happening, where it just ended, there would have been a much more darker tone and a more villainous aspect on Abel's storyline.
Yeah.
And vilifying the Russians and the Germans and everything that was happening over there. But looking back, we were able to, the Coens were able to kind of give it this humor and this, it was more like humanity based. Like, we're looking, like, yes, Abel deserves due process because he is a human being in the United States of America, and that's what we're about.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, because, like, even, I mean, the Cold War lasted through, like, the early 90s, I think, like, 91 or something. Yeah. But it's really interesting. I watched this video a long time ago when we first met and we were talking about, when me and Crystal first met and we were talking about, like, stereotypes in, like, media and, like, films and movies and stuff, like, way back then. And I had just seen a video that I'm pretty sure I had sent to you that was like different periods in the US, different periods in America, the villains of like action movies were from a particular country. So like for a good long while, and you can like see, there's many movie examples, but one that I think they pointed out was Rocky. The bad guy, the boxing guy, he was Russian or he was a Soviet. Yeah. And then for like a good period in the 90s and the early 2000s, carrying a little bit onto later, it was like Middle Eastern, like Arab sort of people that were the bad guys, you know, the kidnappers, whatever. And then moving forward, you have like, oh, the cartels are the bad guys, blah, 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 whatever. But it was this really great video. I have no idea where it's saved now.
The same, I think there was another thing too. They talk about the Japanese, how everyone from Japan was terrible or whatever.
Yeah, after, in the 60s, early 70s.
It's very
that's
interesting.
What it was.
It's really good
video. Yeah, it was a great video. I can't remember who did it because it was like, what, 8 years, eight, not 7 years ago now that I watched that. But it was really interesting. Because, like, in that period, while you're in it, while America's, you know, dealing with these sort of countries,
right,
that's who you want to vilify. And it just goes to show that, like, you can say it's like, oh, it's just a movie. It's just a TV show. But it actually has, like, a real-world effect in, like, how American citizens or the general public view certain countries or people from certain countries. Because these pieces of media, like, vilify them. And so I think that's like a great point that you brought up, that like this one tends to kind for the most part like level the playing field, mm-hmm. And give each side the benefit of the doubt.
And what you're saying in turn reflects how we treat those people from those countries in our country.
Yeah,
because they in the movie they're kind of like whenever. What's his name gets captured by the Russians and they're like, oh, they put on a show trial and they beat him up and whatever. And I don't know, the way the movie was kind of like, well, but look, we take care of our prisoners. Like, we're going to let him have his paints and make sure he has cigarettes. And that was maybe true for him, but I mean, America,
probably not.
America does torture people. So it's not like it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little bit of like, I guess maybe even in it, but I don't know. I just thought, I was like, it's funny how like, even the movie, this movie itself was saying like the Russians are still the bad ones.
Right. Because yeah. I mean, I think it could have very easily, I don't know if it was like Steven Spielberg or the writing's choice, they could have very easily gone more extreme with like the torture of the airmen. Because we've seen it in other movies where they go like really off the handle and they're like, this is what real torture is like. But I don't think this was that particular movie.
No.
So, yeah, I think it was some of that.
I think that's where some of the time could have been cut. I think it would have been effective if we didn't really see his torture. You know, we saw his trial or whatever. And then when they rescue him, he's got some bruises or something, you know? Like, it wasn't something we had to see.
I will say this, the scene where the plane is crashing, that sound design is fantastic.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
Also, visually, how it was, I don't know how it was shot, but the way that shot worked, where he's like falling in the, he looks above him in the parachute and you see the pieces.
Yeah, that's, and then you hear the, like it's coming towards him. So, I mean, that scene I was very impressed with. Yes.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. Was there something you want to say earlier?
I forgot it.
There's two things that they had to, that they changed for movie purposes. Real life, Donovan, Tom Hanks's character, had support from his family. He was supported by a lot of people. He wasn't seen as this villain. And they interviewed people from that time. They were like, yeah, we knew what he was doing. We didn't like it, but we didn't feel unsafe. We didn't, you know, hate on him for doing what he was doing.
Right.
He wasn't as vilified as he was in the movie. And also, the American student who was arrested that they were trying to get. So they invented the whole girlfriend scenario because they didn't think his real story would be believable. And you want to guess what his real story was?
Oh, no. What was it?
He was trying to return a library book before the wall went up and he couldn't do it. And he got caught.
All right.
You're right. That wouldn't be believable.
It would be like, really? Like, but if he does it for love, it's okay.
Right. Yeah. Gross. Mm. Okay.
That made me laugh so hard.
You know what? I would have much rather have seen, because like Cold War, we've seen stories, whatever. It's nothing new. I would have much rather have seen a movie about Donovan in his negotiations in Cuba.
Me too.
Yes, because that big surprise at the end.
I wrote that down. So he negotiated for 1,113 prisoners. End up, the men, women, and children that were released ended up being 9,703. That's nuts.
Like, how'd you get all of that from just what was supposed to, you got 10 times what you were negotiating.
And I feel like a good enough writer could introduce Donovan, a little bit of a story to this, relegated to this, and then focus on Cuba. That would have been so interesting. Like 1970s Cuba. Mm-hmm. Imagine the fashion in that. Would have been great.
When 1970s Cuba was basically 1950s, so.
Beautiful. Great. Would have been great. All this, but, so colorful. I want that movie. I really want that movie. But yeah, I would have much rather seen that movie.
It was really interesting to see, like, that was just like an anecdote at the end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh wow, he did more stuff. Okay, cool.
Also, because by putting it in this part of the country or this part of the world, it's very Caucasian.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So if you, I don't know, make tell his other negotiating story, it's not as white.
Yeah.
From brown.
And just other colors.
Just other colors.
Yeah. Which is
brown,
would
black,
help the Oscars so white, whatever, for this situation this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It flew. My bad.
Our list of nominees flew off the table. Okay. So the one award it did win for best supporting actor.
Rock Island. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot his name for a minute.
Okay.
He was fine. It was very nuanced performance, very quiet.
Yeah.
I still think Steve Carell should have been in this category, but
whatever. You know who else I was thinking about it, and you know, there's a lot to talk about once we get to that movie. A fan favorite for us. What's his name? Damn it, Skins. Tony.
Nicholas Hoult.
Nicholas Hoult.
I knew you were gonna.
In Mad Max Fury Road could have also been in this category.
We will get there.
We'll get there, but I really like that performance. Mark Rose, it was fine. I haven't seen the rest of these, so I will make my final decision after I see the rest of them.
Mark Rylance is a force on the stage. He's won.
Oh yeah.
Tonys, I believe. He's very, very good, but you're right. This performance is rather small. He did a good job of making the accent not like you couldn't really place it.
Yeah.
Apparently, Abel was born in Russia and spent some time in his youth in Scotland. So whenever he speaks English, that accent kind of tends to come in. So I mean, he did a good job.
Yeah.
But I don't think he deserved to win.
I mean, I feel like the Best Supporting Actor category this particular year was a little bland, like
I think there's somebody on the list I would have been okay with winning, and we'll talk about it when we get there.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I think I know what you're talking about.
So, it's really funny that Sylvester Stallone was nominated for Creed in this, which he did. He did actually like a good job in that, I think. No Michael B. Jordan for Creed, who did the heavy lifting, did the work, was able to hold his own against Sylvester Stallone, and maybe even do better than him.
Do you remember that year them talking about him getting snubbed for...
I'm going to need you to watch this movie before...
Recognition in general.
I'm going to need you to watch Creed before this is... Before
also,
we
I remember
this.
When Sylvester Stallone won for, I think, the Golden Globe for that movie.
Yes.
He didn't thank the correct people. So he made it worse. He won an award for a movie. Anyways.
I think he didn't...
was it Ryan Coogler, wasn't it?
Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
I don't think he thanked him.
Yikes. So this was the only Best Picture nomination that has also got nominated for Best Score.
Oh, really?
And the score is fine, much like the movie. It's not good. I mean, it's not great, but it's not bad.
I feel like it's very standard.
It's solid.
It's predictable is what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in the moments of, like, suspense when the score actually kicks in, I'm like, yeah, I didn't expect anything other than what I'm hearing
right
now.
Pretty by the numbers type of score, which, you know, and because Oscars were so white at the time, they loved that. So it made sense that I got the nomination.
This is the first movie since The Color Purple that John Williams... Is that John Williams?
Thomas Newman?
Thomas Newman is the composer.
Yeah. But Williams was supposed to have done it. But he got sick and had a health scare and he couldn't do it. So this is the first time since Steven Spielberg's The Color Purple that they have not collaborated.
Wait a second. Oh. Steven Spielberg did The Color Purple?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. All right, my brain's got to process that. So we'll talk about this next time.
Do you like Steven Spielberg? Are you a fan of his films, Troy or Anna?
Ask Anna first.
Okay, Anna.
I think he has his place. I think he has done some amazing work. I don't know how much his work holds up today.
That's fair.
I think he's a little dated right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't look at what he's done and say he's not good.
Yeah, especially because, like, it's so part of the fabric of our lives, like, of what
our
he's
culture,
done.
American culture.
I just think of, like, I will never forget how I felt watching E.T. and how much it moved me as an adult and as a child. Like, I love that movie so much. Jurassic Park. You know, another like cultural impactful movie. Like when he's good, he's really good, you know? And I think I'm a fan. I'm not like obsessed, but
I'm a fan.
I know what I'm gonna get. Well, yeah, I guess I am a fan too. But I know what I'm gonna get
It reminds me of Dawson's Creek when he goes to that film festival and he's like, Spielberg's my favorite director, and everyone's like, are you serious? Yeah, what do you mean? yeah, he's great, but is he the greatest?
No, yeah,
I think he's pretty good, though. I think at this point in his career and at this point in the cinematic culture, like, he's obviously not going to really go outside the box with the decisions he makes.
Knows where he, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to hit his marks, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be anything innovative now. I think it was innovative then, and I fucking love Jurassic Park. We all know this. One movie of his that I will definitely recommend for everybody to see is Minority Report with Tom Hanks. It's like a futuristic kind of like spy sci-fi-y sort of thing. It's really great. The less you know, the better. It probably is a little cheesy now. Huh?
You mean Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise. Why did I say Tom Hanks?
I don't know, but I was like, I don't think that was Hanks.
No, definitely Tom Cruise. But it's a really good movie. It's really interesting. And that definitely...
He did Jaws, too. I forgot about Jaws.
Yeah. Don't you like Indiana Jones? He did all those.
My dad loves it, and I saw it when I was a kid. I don't really remember too much. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that's a great movie.
I never saw that.
So good. Ryan, Schindler's List.
I've never seen Schindler's
List. Me either. Catch Me If You Can.
What?
Homeboy's done some good shit.
He did Hook? I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Hook.
Your heart is full. Ow. Sorry, I got real excited about that movie.
No. Do you guys ever watch Catch Me If You Can?
No.
Yes. It's like one of my favorites. And I also saw the musical.
I really want to rewatch it because I haven't seen it since it came out and I was a child and I didn't understand it, but it was interesting to me.
Sorry. I have a package being delivered. Rocket. Come here, Bubba.
I want to get on a show that says, and I saw the musical.
That'd be great. That sounds great.
That sounds great. Yeah, I know. He also did
War Horse
AI, artificial intelligence. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, no.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, so I think definitely he's proven himself to be a great director. Yeah. A great director.
And this is he's doing West Side Story. I forgot.
Why did we let him do West Side Story, first of all?
I won't judge him until I see it.
That's fair.
I won't either, but that thought's going to be in the back of my head.
Also, Ansel Elgort, can he sing?
Yeah.
Oh, he can?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He's got a good voice. Anyways.
Can you compare him to anything? Or anyone, rather?
Kind of reminds me of Chris Pine in Into the Woods. Like, he's got...
Really?
Bluesy kind of Frank Sinatra vibe going.
I can't. My brain is short circuiting. I can't see it. Okay. All right. I trust you. I'm very confused, but I trust you.
Of the other stuff that it was nominated for, do you guys think it should have won any of those? It didn't win Best Picture. Original screenplay?
No. Because, so Best Picture, original screenplay, no. Best score, no. Production design?
Okay, production design, I will say, like, everything looked immaculate, and I think mostly it was due to the budget that Steven Spielberg was allowed. So, like, he can do that, and they're going to give him all the period accurate, like, appliances and decor and clothing and all of that.
Yeah.
So I think that was due to it had a lot of money behind it. So.
I mean, I really liked the sound mixing, but who won that award? I think deserved it too. So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, another thing I wanted to add, even though he's not really in this movie too much, I really like Jesse Plemons. I think he's a solid actor.
He's great.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I'm like, I see him pop up in so many things. He's just like, oh, and here's Jesse Plemons.
I just want to pop in different things like that. That'd be cool.
Do it.
Okay. I'll go right now. Bye. Anything else?
There was like two or three shots that were like pretty good.
Yeah.
Just very symmetrical, but like nice lines. Tom Hanks is really comforting.
He is.
Alan Alda is great also.
Alan Alda is great.
He is great. Okay, so in the first scene when he's talking about like insurance and whatever, I was like, wait, I know that. I was like, I understand what he's talking about. I worked in that for 5 minutes. So I was like, I get it, dude. It's great. I do appreciate Tom Hanks trying to do his job the best he could to defend, what's his name? Abel. Yes, Abel. But, like, come on, dude. Like, you really thought the U.S. was going to give him a fair shot at this. I know.
Come on.
Which, this was a cool little fact. When he's arguing with the Supreme Court and he's giving that speech, that was the real text from the real case.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
But I did note, I was like, he has to have due process, but only the facade of due process.
Right. They just want to be like, look, we're being fair, quote unquote fair, but they're not, obviously. that whole scene with the kids in the school and then showing them the movie. Video of the bomb or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, the American propaganda machine. It never stops. They were really like totally indoctrinated, like from kids, as kids.
I read a review that talked about that scene, and they said like the likelihood of a little girl crying is slimmer than we might think, because I mean, if you think about this generation and how they react to millennials and Gen Zs, and they call us snowflakes and babies because we can't handle anything, because it was indoctrinated in them that this is what has to happen and you're going to keep calm and you're going to do it. Like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. This is how it has to be. And he was talking about, like, we weren't allowed to show emotion. We weren't allowed to be scared. We weren't allowed to be worried. It was just, that's the way things are, and that's what you're going to have to deal with kind of attitude at the time, which I thought was enlightening.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives context for people's reactions.
But also learn to grow and don't be an asshole.
Right, like, there shouldn't be a point in time where you're like, I'm as wise as I will ever be. I should just stop learning. I've learned literally everything. No.
That's me right now. I'm done. I'm not learning anymore. I'm done growing.
Yeah, that's it.
The only growth I want is pant size, because I'm just going to sit here and continue.
Shut up.
Stuffing my face. I'm done.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it. You guys have any other thoughts?
You go first.
No, okay, you go.
No, you go.
No, you go.
Crystal, go.
No, you go.
Crystal.
I was just gonna say, what do you put first? The Big Short or
Ooh, they're so different.
It makes it so interesting when they're so different. I like it.
Because, like we said before, The Big Short was interesting and new and different. But Bridges of Spies was like, I don't want to say comforting, but it was familiar.
It was very traditional.
Traditional, yeah. Oh, I don't know. Which was a better movie? That's a great question.
If it was between those movies, who would you want to win?
Oh, shit. Would I want to win? Bridges of Spies.
Anna? Okay.
I think Bridge of Spies too. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I'm still salty about Adam McKay and...
You know what? You're right.
And the other fucking movie, what is it called?
Vice.
You mean Vice?
Garbage? Yeah, that's what it's called.
The movie.
Garbage the movie.
And I still didn't exactly understand everything in The Big Short. But I understood everything in The Bridge of Spies.
Yeah, that's fair. I think just overall, like, quality, caliber of acting, writing. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the safe choice here and go with Bridge of Spies as well.
That's interesting because, like, Bridge of Spies almost for us can feel like almost like a fantasy so far before we were around. But we were around for the Big Short event, so it's, I'm sure that.
I think it's like, it brings up like the like moral question of like, should you really be making a film about something that's still impacting us today? Or can you just wait to like look at it in retrospect in like 50 years or so? Do you have to do it now? Or
I think it's helpful to have both. Because I think what's going to be really great is in another 10, 15 years is we're going to get another movie like Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
The retrospective lens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we can sit there and compare what were we feeling and what was going on in that moment. What is capturing the moment we're in? And then also, how are we looking back on it now that it's in our past? So I want both all the time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I think of the movies that were made like right after 9/11, like they just, they're so different movies than like movies now made about it. I don't even know if there's a new movie, but no.
I don't think
now.
Anyone.
But they talk about if they talk about 9/11 in a movie or something, it's
treated.
It feels different. It's treated differently than it was like right after it happened. So I think you're right. And I think having it, maybe not right after, but like soon, a year later, 10 years later, 5 years later, whatever. I think I'm all for all of it. You know,
mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there's a similar type of movie, not this story, but a movie about, you know, prisoners of war being exchanged, but that was made in the 50s or 60s, back when it was still relatively fresh.
Yeah.
With looking compared to this.
Right, when they're still in the middle of the Cold War.
Yeah.
Yeah. When there's still stakes in the game.
Yeah. It's really interesting. This movie just made me think about like, oh, maybe I should rewatch The Americans.
Maybe I should start watching The Americans.
You should.
But also, when I think about that time period, you know, that's also when Hollywood was going through its big blacklisted. Everyone was considered a communist. So I'm wondering how many stories didn't get to be told.
Ah, yeah.
Because of people being blacklisted or being told, like, you can't say that right now.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Interesting.
What was your last note? You were going to say something before Anna asked.
It's fine. It's done. It's over.
No, it's not. We're opening
it up.
Oh, we did talk about
it?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you try to swim into the screen?
That was me opening it back up and going in.
Okay.
Man, if I knew how to make GIFs, I could make so many GIFs of our video calls. This is great. So I guess The Bridge of Spies is the number one right now?
Yeah, because it's The Bridge of Spies. Because it's The Bridge.
Not just The Bridge. Oh, it's Bridge of Spies.
That's funny.
Works.
You're so funny. You're the
funniest girl on the planet. So I think
that's all we got on I think we're good.
Of Spies.
I think that's
it. It was a solid B. B plus?
B. A B plus?
A B. Just a B. It was solidly average.
Oh, there you go.
Not bad.
But
just average.
On your Letterboxd review.
Solidly. All right. I will. I haven't reviewed it yet.
So yeah, I think that's good. I think we're good. We can't say anything new about it now.
No.
We're all back.
I'll find something else to say about it in like
tweet
four
it.
Podcasts from now.
Tweet it. Anyways, so thanks for listening, guys.
How exciting.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.